I had to see this. Castile cursed, but he didn't force me to move. Wearing nothing but a frayed, worn gown, the woman stopped a few feet from the carriage. She trembled so badly that I wondered how she remained standing. The wind tugged at the knot of her hair, lifting the strands that had already fallen. Her arms were curled around her chest. Her empty arms. "Where is her son?" I asked. Castile shook his head when I looked at him.
"Tell me again, Mrs. Tullis," Cheney said, stopping once more. "Who arrived here just a few days ago?"
It was the maiden, she stammered, and my heart dropped. The chosen. She came with others from Macedonia. She took a tentative step toward Elijah. I'm sorry.
That's enough, Mrs. Tullis.
That was all Cheney needed to say, and she quieted at once, sinking into herself.
I'm sure all of you know who the maiden is. She was being escorted to the capital, and as I'm sure you already know, New Haven is not part of the route one normally takes to get there. Stopping here wasn't part of the plan.
There's no maiden here, not in any sense of the word,
Elijah said, and a few of those standing in line chuckled.
His mouth, murmured Castile, will be the death of him one day.
I feared that one day might come sooner than later, when Cheney seemed to inhale deeply.
So, you say she's a liar?
He asked.
All I'm saying is that there's no maiden in this keep.
Which technically wasn't a lie.
All right.
Cheney nodded and then moved fast like all ascended could, almost as quickly as an Atlantean. One moment he was standing several feet from Mrs. Tullis, the next he was behind her, his fingers sinking into her wind-swept hair. A vicious crack sounded as he jerked her head to the side. Lurching forward, I clamped my hands over my mouth to silence the shout building in my throat. Elijah made a move toward the Lord, but he drew up short as several of the knights pulled their swords. With wide, disbelieving eyes, I watched Lord Cheney lift his hands. Mrs. Tullis crumpled to the ground in a boneless heap at his feet. Even after seeing the underground chamber with all those names, I couldn't have prepared myself for what I saw. He'd snapped her neck, just like that. He'd killed her as if she meant nothing, as if her life had no value. Slowly, I lowered my hands.
Why?
Magda said, her fingers pressed to her rounded belly.
Why would you do that?
Lord Cheney stepped over Mrs. Tullis's body as if she were nothing, absolutely forgettable.
Why would she go unpunished for lying?
Oh, gods. A shudder racked me. She hadn't been lying. Magda knew that. All of them knew that.
Unless it was you who is lying, he said. And the only reason I can come up with for that is that several of you, or all of you, are dissenters, like the one you accused of lying. After all, she once lived in Macedonia but disappeared along with her husband and son shortly before the rite, and after their very public request to refuse the rite was denied. Her death was quick and just.
Her death was just? I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And how had he gotten a hold of her when she had been in New Haven? And where was Tobias?
But back to the issue at hand. The maiden is very important to the kingdom, worth more than every single one of you.
Cheney addressed the line of people.
Where is she?
No one spoke. Chaney looked at the only knight who spoke. Without saying a word, he lunged forward, thrusting his sword deep into the belly of a man standing in line. Horror seized me as Castile jumped up but stopped, growling under his breath. The air around him vibrated with rage, and my senses swelled as the man's agony rippled out across the yard. My throat tightened as I fought back the nearly overwhelming urge to connect with him. I couldn't allow that. It would be too much. The man staggered, but didn't scream. He didn't even shout from the pain. I imagined a giant pair of shears snipping away at all of the lines my gift was trying to connect to him, to Castile, to all the others. Rage coated the air, falling heavier than the snow had, and I trembled with the effort to shut it down, to lock it all away before the need to ease the man's suffering and the fear and anger of the others overwhelmed me, before I made things worse. Not a single member of the keep standing by twitched a muscle as the man lifted his head and spat in the knight's face. The knight twisted the sword before tearing the blade free. Red spilled out of the man's stomach, thick and ropey as he went down on one knee.
"Fuck you," the man gritted out.
The second thrust of the sword was more of a swipe, cleaving the man's head from his shoulders. There were gasps, at least I thought there were, but the blood was pounding too heavily in my ears. Could have been me who reacted. Castile rose once more, his hands opening and closing at his sides. A muscle flexed along his jaw, and then he stretched his neck to the left and to the right before returning to kneel beside me. Bile crept up my throat as the knight wiped the spit from his cheek with the back of his hand.
"I will kill that one,"
Castile vowed quietly, his voice colder than the air we breathed.
"I will kill that one slowly and painfully."
One of the other knights stepped forward, grabbing a boy, the one who'd run from house to house when we first arrived in New Haven. He pressed the point of his sword under the child's chin. My heart stopped.
"This is what they are truly like."
Castile curled his fingers around my chin, drawing my gaze to his.
"This is what you once believed would be easier to manipulate, to escape."
I shuddered. Castile's gaze searched mine.
"I know, I understand, even after everything I've told you about the Ascended and what I've shown you, seeing it is still a shock."
His voice softened, loosening some of the ice.
"It's always different when you see it."
It was. Chaney had turned back to the line.
"If you've hidden the maiden somewhere, you only need to tell me where. If others left with the maiden, then you simply need to tell me where. Tell me where she is. It's that simple. Prove to me that you value your lives."
"And then what? You will leave this place, as if you'd let us live if we told you,"
Elijah snarled.
"I may have moments of profound stupidity, but I'm not that dumb."
Chaney chuckled.
"I believe that's debatable."
"Perhaps,"
Elijah replied, and I could practically hear the smirk in his tone.
"But I'm not the one hiding behind a child."
The Ascended grew very still as the hairs on the back of my neck rose.
"Are you suggesting that I'm a coward?"
"You said it."
Elijah unfolded his arms.
"Not me."
Castile tugged my eyes back to his as he reached for his boot with his other hand.
"I wish you'd never had to see any of this."
He didn't give me a chance to respond, rising so quickly he was already near the edge of the trees in the blink of an eye. It took me a moment to realize that the space where he'd knelt beside me wasn't entirely empty. Lying on a cushion of dead leaves and snow was a blade the color of blood and a handle made of smooth ivory bone. A woven dagger. My woven dagger. Slowly I picked it up with a trembling hand, the weight familiar and welcomed. I looked to where Castile moved like a shadow between the trees. How long had he had it with him, and why had he given it back to me now? Because Bloodstone could kill an Ascended. He'd left me with a weapon that I could use in case the Ascended made it to me.
You're looking for the maiden?
Castile called out, and the Lord spun around. Several of the knights flanked him. Chaney tilted his head as Castile walked into the clearing.
Who in the hell are you? Who am I?
Castile chuckled as if this were all a joke to him.
Who do you think I am?
Rising slowly, I pressed against the base of a tree before moving around it. I stopped when I saw a flash of fawn-colored fur from the area of the stables. Kieran. He slunk along the side of the building, disappearing into its shadows.
I don't know, Chaney replied. But I'm hoping you're someone who can answer my question. I would hate to see such a young life cut short.
My fingers tightened around the bone handle of my weapon as I crept forward once more, my gaze swinging toward the knight. Could I get behind him before anyone saw me? Before Lord Chaney gave the go-ahead and another life was ended? All it would take is one nod and that child's life would be over. The soft crunch of dried leaves whipped my head to the right. A large white wolven brushed against the tree I'd just been hiding behind, nearly blending in with the snow. A sudden memory surfaced of me lying in the cell after the attack Jericho had led, bleeding out. A wolven with white fur had nudged my cheek and then howled. I thought it was Kieran. But it had been this wolf. It had been Delano. He looked at me, his pale blue eyes bright against the tufts of white fur. He made a soft chuffing sound as he drifted over to where I stood. His head reached beyond my hip, and I had the strangest urge to reach down and scratch his ear. I resisted, though. It didn't seem appropriate. Castile stopped in the middle of the yard, his arms at his sides.
I can answer your question. The maiden is here.
That stopped me dead in my tracks.
Is she?
Lord Chaney clapped his hands as he looked around the yard, to those lined up.
Now, how hard was that? I asked a question and I received an answer. You should ask how he knows that the maiden is here.
Elijah said with a chuckle, and I saw Magda take a small step back. Well aware of Delano at my heels, I moved forward as Lord Chaney stared at Castile. I reached the last of the trees, stopping when Chaney demanded quietly,
"You didn't say who you were. You going to answer that?" "I am born of the First Kingdom."
Castile's voice carried like the wind and snow, stroking over the knights who all turned one by one to look in his direction.
Created from the blood and ash of all those who fell before me, I have risen to take back what is mine. I'm who you call the Dark One,
he said, and chills danced across my skin.
Yes, I have the maiden, and I'm not giving her back.
Lord Chaney changed. Gone was the veneer of civility. His face contorted, cheekbones sharpening, his jaw dropped open. Those eyes burned like coal, like a craven's. I stumbled back, bumping into Delano as I saw the truth once more. The Ascended bared his fangs as he hissed like a large serpent dropping into a crouch.
Mine are bigger than yours,
Castile responded in turn, prowling forward. Then the knights changed, at least half of them exposing elongated canines as their lips peeled back. It felt like the ground moved under my feet, even though the entire world seemed to stop. There were ascended among the royal army. That was unheard of. Only the royals ascended. That was what we'd been told. And that was another lie. Another fact exposed to everyone who stood here now. I immediately knew yet another truth. The ascended didn't intend for anyone to leave the yard alive tonight. Chapter 15. It was chaos. Half of the knights charged Castile, and the others turned on the ones lined up. Elijah snagged the arm of a knight who'd lifted a sword, smashing his closed fist down. The crack of bone drew a howl of pain as Elijah caught the sword and turned it on the guard. The sword was bloodstone, and it did what it was intended, piercing the black armor and sinking deep into the knight's chest. Elijah pulled the blade free, and I expected to see the knight fall, just like a craven, as Elijah spun, his sword clanging off another. There were shouts of pain and a god's awful hissing noise, but I couldn't pull my eyes away from the knight. He didn't simply fall like a craven would. Fissures appeared along his cheeks, spreading across his face and down his neck, forming a web of fractures that disappeared under the clothing and armor. His skin cracked. Strips of flesh peeled back and flaked off, shattering into the dust that was caught on and swept away by the wind. Within seconds, nothing remained of the knight but the clothing and armor he'd once worn, left in a pile on the ground. The craven didn't die like that. Their bodies remained whole. That hadn't happened to the Duke. But he'd been killed with a cane fashioned from a tree from the Blood Forest. And that hadn't happened when I killed Lord Mazin. But the blade was made of steel, not bloodstone. My gaze fell to my woven dagger. That was what bloodstone did to an ascended? For a few very precious seconds, I was frozen where I stood, my gaze sweeping across the yard, over the clash of swords and bodies, over the blood splattering the snow. The knights, they weren't just fighting the dissenters. They were attacking them. Many still had their swords in their scabbards. Their weapons were their fangs and their strength. They overpowered the mortals among the people of the keep almost immediately, faces twisted in snarls, fangs gleaming in the moonlight. They flew at them, jumping on some, driving them down to the ground like a craven would. My knees felt strangely weak as I stood there. Blood lust. Maybe they didn't screech like the craven or appear decayed and half dead. But what I was seeing was clearly bloodlust. Any lingering doubt I had about everything Castile had claimed nearly vanished when I saw the chamber. But now, there was none. This was what the ascended truly looked like, and I had never seen anything more terrifying. Nail appeared. From where, I wasn't sure. He grabbed a knight by the nape of the neck, tearing him free from a man. He shoved a short sword through the knight's back, but it appeared to be too late for the man. He fell to the ground, his throat a mangled mess. Delano suddenly rushed past me, jarring me from my stupor. With one powerful lunge, he took down a knight that had grabbed hold of a woman, his face buried in her neck, his teeth in her throat. The woman staggered a few feet, pressing her hand to the wound. Blinking, I turned and saw Castile shove a sword into a knight's chest and then spin, leaving the sword there. He grabbed the back of another knight's head, yanking it back. The ascended's head dropped, and Castile... air leaked out of my parted lips. He tore through the knight's neck, ripping it open, tossing the man aside. He spat out blood as he grabbed the sword from the other's chest. pulling it free a second before the night turned to ash. I scanned the yard, no longer seeing Lord Chaney, but I did see a knight backing up, the one who held the child. He used the boy as a shield, keeping the sword under the young one's chin. The woven dagger practically vibrated in my hand, and I was finally moving. Instinct crowded out the horror, and it was like being on the rise, or recently when I'd faced the Craven. A sense of focus and calm settled over me as I darted into the yard, running for the carriage. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Kieran leap upon a knight that had Elijah's back pinned against the stone wall of the keep. He grabbed the knight in his powerful wolven jaws, flinging him to the ground. Magda appeared, thrusting one of the bloodstone swords down. I slowed as I moved along the back of the carriage, stopping at the edge. Peering around it, I saw the knight dragging the now struggling boy toward the stables, a thick arm around his neck. In the moonlight, the child's wide, panicked eyes met mine a moment before the knight turned away. "Keep fighting," the knight growled. "That really gets the blood pumping." The child was no longer a shield. He was food. Fury pumped my blood as I slipped out from behind the carriage, crossing the distance between us as I flipped the heavy-handled dagger so I held it by its blade, just like Victor had taught me. The knight turned suddenly, dragging the boy around as if he were nothing more than a rag doll. I lifted the sword as his gaze, reddish-black in the moonlight, flickered over me, over my face, the scars. His eyes widened in recognition. He knew who I was. His arm loosened, dropping a fraction as he lowered the sword. I saw my chance. I took it. The dagger flew from my fingers, spinning through the air. The blade struck true, slicing through the knight's eye and embedding itself deep in his brain. His hand spasmed open, releasing the sword. It fell to the ground as tiny cracks in his flesh appeared, racing across his skin. They were thin but deep, and when he broke apart, it was almost as if he caved into himself. "Damn!" the little boy said, eyes wide. He turned, bending to pick up the dagger from the armor. He handed it to me. "You got him! You got him right in the eye! How did you do that? Will you show me?" Relieved to see that the child wasn't remotely traumatized, my lips twitched. "Maybe."
"A two-for-one special,"
a voice sounded from behind us.
"Perfect.
Run and hide," I told the boy, shoving him away. Hoping he listened, I squared off with a knight. Blood and gore covered his mouth in thick clumps. I was beginning to think the vow of silence didn't apply when they weren't hiding what they were. Either he hadn't been given a description of what I looked like, which didn't seem likely, or he was too lost to bloodlust. That sounded more probable. He bared his fangs, hissing as he bent. I saw now that their teeth were like those of the Craven. There weren't only two fangs, but four, two on the top and two on the bottom, short and easily hidden, but no less deadly. The knight charged me with all the grace of a barat. Knowing that the armor would be hard for me to pierce, even with a bloodstone dagger, I braced myself. The moment his fingers grazed my arm, I stepped to the side as I swung the dagger down on the center of his chest with all my strength. My blow met resistance, but the knight's own body weight and momentum worked to my advantage. The blade pierced the armor and then the chest. The knight's shout of pain and shock ended abruptly. Jerking the dagger free, I danced back as the fissures in his skin appeared. I didn't want to be anywhere near him when he broke apart. The thought of the ash, of the pieces of him getting on me, in my hair or mouth, or, oh gods, in my eyes, made me want to vomit.
"Maiden!"
The hair along my neck rose at the sound of Lord Chaney's voice. I turned around, my heart lodged in my throat. The fangs were hidden, his placid expression not set to one of awe. Blood seeped from a wound on his chest. It looked like someone had almost gotten him with a sword or dagger, but he'd been too fast. What had caused the lurch in my chest was what he held against him. It was the boy. The child either hadn't listened to me or wasn't fast enough. Lord Chaney had one hand curled under the child's throat. Thin rivulets of blood ran from where the Ascended's nails dug into the boy's skin.
"They told me you were scarred," the Lord said.
His eyes were like the blackest fire as they flicked to the dagger.
I assumed they meant it was just a scratch or two, just a minor flaw.
But it is you. It is me. I rapidly ran through the possible scenarios as the boy trembled. Almost all of them ended with the child's death, and I couldn't have that on my soul. Too many people had already died or were seriously wounded. Names would be carved in the chamber's walls, all because the Ascended had come for me. I only saw one way for the boy to survive. "You're here to save me," the words tasted of ash on my tongue. "Thank the gods." Lord Chaney watched me closely.
"Are you sure you're in need of saving? You killed two knights."
"One of them was trying to hurt the boy, and the other knight, he scared me," I forced out. "I thought they were going to hurt me. I didn't know there were ascended among the royal knights." A humorless half-smile appeared.
"There's no need to be afraid now, maiden," he said. "You're safe. Lay down the bloodstone."
The hairs were still at attention. The dagger was my only weapon against an ascended. Without it, the paltry meat knife would be little to no help, just like it would have if I'd managed to escape the night prior. Castile had been painfully right about how badly that would have gone, though now wasn't the time for self-recriminations. "You're hurting the boy." The Lord's brows rose as the sound of fighting continued in the yard.
"Am I?"
I nodded. "He's bleeding." He didn't take his eyes off me. I knew I wouldn't be able to throw the dagger as I had before. The element of surprise was gone.
"He's a dissenter, maiden."
"He's just a child."
"A child of those who sought to kidnap you. His safety should be the least of your worries. Why you stand before me unveiled, not only holding a bloodstone dagger, but also with the knowledge of how to use it, is far more concerning."
I almost laughed. Leave it to an ascended to believe that my unveiled face and my ability to fight was more concerning than the fate of a child. "But he's just a little boy, and I believe he's a second son," I quickly lied. "He's destined to ascend, and the gods will be very displeased if something were to happen to him, wouldn't they?"
Yes. I wouldn't want to displease the gods."
His fingers eased and the boy wheezed raggedly. The Lord placed his hands on the boy's tiny shoulders.
"Lay down the dagger. You don't need it now. Then I shall let him go. I will take you far from here, back to your queen. She is very worried about you, maiden."
With the dagger, I had a chance. Lord Chaney was fast and smarter than the knight. He wouldn't come at me like a wild boar. I'd have to be clever. But without my bloodstone weapon, I stood no chance. The Lord wouldn't kill me. The Ascended needed me. The child, however, he would kill him with little thought. My gaze dipped to the boy. He'd been at the stables shouting from blood and ash when the others called for me to be sent back to the queen in pieces. But he was just a child. Exhaling slowly, I opened my hand. The dagger slipped from my fingers. It hit the ground with a soft thunk that sounded like a door being closed. "I'm ready to go home," I steadied my voice. "To my queen, please." Lord Chaney smiled again, and dread knotted my stomach. He nodded, and that was the only warning I had, before shocking pain exploded across the back of my head, and my world plummeted into darkness. Jostled into consciousness, I woke to my head throbbing as if it were splitting in two, and a dry, cottony feeling at the back of my mouth. The constant rough rocking forced my eyes open. Everything was a blur of crimson. I blinked until my vision cleared. A gas lamp cast a soft glow over the crimson. I was in a carriage, laid out on a cushioned bench, draped in red. I drew in a deep breath and almost coughed on the heavy, too sweet cologne.
You wake?
My stomach dropped. Lord Chaney. I rose unsteadily, wincing as pain spiked intensely across the back of my skull. The ascended came into view as I reached around and gingerly touched the skin. It was tender, and there was a small lump, but no blood, even though the area throbbed.
You hit me,
I said, my voice hoarse.
I didn't hit you,
Lord Chaney replied. He sat in an arrogant sprawl, arms resting along the back of the bench.
Sir Terrellin was the one who struck you. It was distasteful, but necessary.
Why?
I quickly glanced around the carriage. There was nothing I could use as a weapon, and I doubted there was bloodstone or blood forest stakes hidden anywhere. But I did have the knife. Although, what was I going to do with a meat knife against an ascended?
We need to make haste, and I feared you would somehow, unintentionally, delay us.
He shifted on the bench, lines of tension forming at the corners of his mouth. My gaze dipped as I lowered my hand to the seat beside me. The wound across his chest was visible beneath the tear in his tunic. The reddish-pink skin was jagged, and the gash appeared deep. Ascended were known to heal rapidly from wounds, much like the Atlanteans. How long have I been unconscious? I asked. With no windows, I couldn't tell if it was day or night.
You slept for about an hour.
My heart tripped over itself. An hour? Good gods. I couldn't believe he even escaped the keep, eluded Castile. But the prince had to have realized I'd been taken. What if he thought I'd gone with the ascended of my own accord, even after everything I'd seen and been told? Tightness seized my chest, but I couldn't worry about that now. I glanced at the door. Over the sound of the carriage wheels, I could hear the pounding of hooves. We weren't alone.
If you're planning to escape, I would advise against such a foolish thing,
Lord Chaney stated.
We are traveling at quite a speed, and I doubt you would survive such a fall. But if you did, know that we do not travel alone. Sir Terrellin rides beside us, as do several knights and guards.
Drawing in a shallow breath, I ignored the sharp rise of nausea as I met the pitch-black eyes of the Vampry. A chill swept over my skin. Even though I hadn't considered throwing myself out of the door of a speeding carriage, I was definitely planning on escaping. I had no idea how long I'd been in the library, but I figured we were several hours away from dawn, when the Lord and the knights would need to seek shelter from the sun. That would be my chance to escape. And then what? I had no idea. But I would have to figure out that when I got to that point. Until then, it would be best if I could convince the Lord that I was a willing participant in this. Why would you think I would want to escape? I asked, as I leaned back, folding my hands in my lap as I crossed my ankles. I sat just like I would if I wore the veil. It was like slipping on a mask, a suffocating, intoxicating disguise. I feared that no one would come for me. I'm surprised that you found me so quickly.
We have eyes everywhere, maiden,
he replied, rubbing at the space above his wound.
Even in places where the dissenters are firmly entrenched.
Is that how you found Mrs. Tullis? The woman who was with you? In this very carriage, possibly where I was sitting. And now she was dead on the cold ground. Where was her son? A tight smile appeared.
It was mere coincidence that we happened upon her. She was on foot, a few miles outside of New Haven, walking in the snow, She was nearly frozen when we found her. What an idiot. He let out a rough laugh, and I wanted to strike out at him, making his laugh the last breath he took. She claimed that the Dark One had killed her husband. Mrs. Tullis hadn't chosen any of Castile's options. Heart sinking even further into grief, I suppressed a shudder. Had Castile known that Mrs. Tullis had left? Could I blame her? She probably feared the same would happen to her. We were already en route to New Haven, only a few handfuls of days behind you, he told me. We discovered that several of those who were escorting you were not who they claimed. The dissenters had worked their way even into the highest ranks of our guards. Did he mean Commander Jansen? It would make sense if they'd discovered that he had helped Castile. If so, I knew Jansen was dead. So, Mrs. Tullis was an unexpected find. But she confirmed that a woman traveled with the Dark One, someone that the others whispered was the Maiden, he told me, swallowing thickly. She was right. But if you knew that, why did you kill her? I asked, part of me needing to understand such an action. She fled the city instead of obeying the Order of the Rite. I waited for him to say more, but there were no other words. I inhaled sharply, nearly gagging on the floral scent of his cologne. And what of her child, her son? Lord Chaney simply smiled. There was no explanation, nothing. Dread knotted in my chest at the sight of the cold, inhuman curve of his lips. He couldn't have done something to the child, right? My eyes closed briefly. My refusal didn't come from a place of naivety, but from the inability to fathom how one could smile if they had harmed an infant. But there were all those children, some so young, that were given over to the temples during the rite. No one ever saw them again for a reason, and it had nothing to do with their service to the gods. What of the boy? I opened my eyes. His parents may have been dissenters, but he's only a child.
He remains at the keep.
That was a small measure of relief, but I latched onto it, anything to stop myself from vomiting as I fixed what I hoped was a serene expression on my face. A look of blind, devoted trust as he watched me, and I watched him. Lord Chaney could be considered a handsome man. I'd overheard a few of the ladies in wait, those second daughters given to the court to ascend, speak of him. But I didn't remember him being this pale. His skin was leached of all color, and I could see the faint blue veins underneath. Are you well? I asked. The wound appears quite fierce.
It is a very fierce wound.
He continued massaging his chest. The lines bracketing his mouth deepened as his lips parted.
Penelope?
I twitched at the sound of my name. Yes, my lord. He still hadn't blinked. Not once since I woke up. And wasn't that entirely unsettling?
You can stop pretending.
Ice hit my veins. Pretending what? Chaney leaned toward me, and I tensed, his fingers stilled.
Tell me something, Maiden. Did you welcome the bite of an Atlantean? Perhaps even enjoy the forbidden blood kiss? Or did he force it upon you, hold you down and take your blood against your will?
That damn bite! My fingernails dug into my palms. It was not welcomed. A hint of red churned in the black abyss of his eyes, just like a craven. Gods.
Is that so? He asked.
I nodded.
The Dark One bit you, and yet you sit before me not as a craven. That must have come as a shock.
Gods, I'd forgotten that. How could I have forgotten that the Ascended had taught us
that an Atlantean's bite was poisonous.
Yes, but I am the chosen.
And you saw us tonight, out in the yard. You saw what we are, he interrupted. Yet you do not seem surprised. You showed more shock and concern regarding that woman's death.
He lifted a hand, placing it on the bench beside my knee.
You say you are relieved that I found you.
I am, he laughed softly. I don't believe you.
All of my senses went on alert as I spared a brief glance at his hand. The veins stood out starkly. He was not well, not at all. Chaney tisked softly under his breath. The king and queen are going to be so displeased.
I didn't dare take my eyes off him. Displeased by what? You ordering a knight to strike me?
They may be unhappy to learn that, yes, but I do believe they'll be more disturbed to learn you've been compromised.
The red burned brighter in his eyes.
And most likely in more ways than one.
The implication in his tone ignited my temper, and for a moment I remembered that I wore no veil. You should be more concerned about yourself. I met his stare. You're not looking well, Lord Chaney. Perhaps the wound is more serious than you realize.
That bastard Atlantean almost got my heart, he said, features turning hollow. But I'll survive.
I'm glad to hear that, I bit out.
I'm sure you are.
The carriage hit a rock, jostling me, but Chaney didn't seem to notice.
There was a reason I was charged with finding you. Do you know why that is?
Your patience and generosity? His chuckle was like nails dragging along my nerve endings.
I didn't know the maiden was so feisty.
I arched a brow.
I was chosen because I know what you truly are.
I forced my hands to unclench.
I know what's really in your blood, and I dare say I know more than even you do.
Is that so? His lips parted, and I wanted to recoil from the sight of his fangs, a reaction that was nothing like when I saw Castile's.
You cannot even begin to comprehend why you were chosen, but that's neither here nor there. You'll learn soon enough.
And what is it that I will learn? His eyes, a kaleidoscope of red and black, fixed on me, on my neck.
That you will usher in a whole new era of ascended.
Disgust rippled through me. Do you think I don't already know that?
I don't think you can even possibly begin to understand what that means. But be that as it may, you were right. I am a bit more wounded than I let on. If it hadn't been Bloodstone, I would be healing by now. I've said to the king and queen time and again that all the Bloodstone needs to be destroyed, but without it she worries that the Craven would then overwhelm the people.
Can't have your food source being destroyed now, can you? I said before I could stop myself.
The Dark One has obviously been whispering in your ear.
His tongue ran along his bottom lip.
He's obviously been doing more than that.
It doesn't matter what he's been doing. I smiled just as coldly as he. What does matter is that I know why I'm the queen's favorite. I know what you all plan to do with me. I know you won't touch me. I'm needed alive so that I can either keep the Atlantean you have held in captivity fed or be used to make more ascended. His head tilted.
You're right about one thing. We do need you alive. That's about it.
Before I could even process what he said, that I was only right about one thing, he rose and moved toward me. And I reacted. Leaning back, I planted my booted foot on his chest and kicked him back to his bench. His eyes widened as he laughed.
Dear maiden, that was unnecessary. I just need a sip. The king and queen never need to know. It will be our secret. One you will be wise to keep.
I kicked out again, catching him in the chest once more. He hissed in pain.
That wasn't very nice,
he snarled as I shifted, reaching for the knife.
That actually hurt.
That was the point. I unsheathed the blade, holding it steady. If you know as much as you think you do about me, then you'll realize that I know how to use this. It may not kill you, but I can make you wish it would. His burning black eyes widened as he held up his hands.
Now, now.
His tone was placating, patronizing.
There's no need for threats of violence.
There's not. Keeping an eye on him, I scooted across the bench toward the door. He tracked my movements.
Did you forget about the speed in which we're traveling? The knights?
I'd rather take my chances of being trampled to death. At least I'll go to the grave knowing you'll probably be right behind me once the king and queen learn that I'm dead because of you. I reached for the door. Chaney struck. I expected him to go for the knife. I reared back. The moment his hand reached around my ankle, I realized I had made a fatal miscalculation. He yanked hard, pulling me off the bench. My back cracked off the edge of the seat, sending a jolt to my already aching head as I went down hard in the cramped space. He pulled me toward him, over the rough, dirty, wet floor, laughing the whole while.
There's no point in fighting.
Gripping his knee, I sat up, swinging the knife with all my might into his chest, into the angry, seeping wound. Chaney howled, lashing out. His fist caught my jaw, snapping my head back. Bright bursts of light crowded the sides of my vision as he fell back in his seat, clutching his chest. I struggled to my feet. The carriage jerked, pitched me back and then forward. Grabbing his shoulder for balance, I climbed onto him. He twisted under me, moving onto his back, and then rolled, throwing me to the side. I crashed into the back of the bench, hitting the cushions and then fell to the floor. Air punched out of my lungs in a painful rush. I started to sit up, but Chaney dropped on top of me.
I don't know how the Tiermans managed to be around you, knowing what you truly are, not without stealing just a taste. You may only be half Atlantean, but your blood is potent.
His weight and the stench of his cologne was unbearable, suffocating as he gripped my left arm, yanking it to his mouth.
I just need a little bit. Then the damn throbbing in my chest will stop.
No! I shouted, struggling wildly beneath him. All my years of training disappeared in a flood of panic. I kicked the bottom of the bench with the leg that wasn't pinned. I kicked him, the floor, the seat. But it was no use. The vampire's teeth shredded my skin, sinking into the flesh of my lower arm. Chapter 16. My arm was on fire. The flames blazed through my body, so intense and all-consuming, I feared it would stop my heart. I was scared that it already had because I was burning alive, screaming as I pressed against the floor, trying to escape the pain, get away from what was happening, but it invaded every part of me. I could feel it, him, drawing my blood into him, breaking off pieces of me with each swallow. It was nothing like when Castile had bitten me. The pain did not ease. It did not go away. It ratcheted up with each passing heartbeat. He moaned, biting harder, digging his bottom teeth into my skin, just like a craven, just like before. Like that night, when I was too small and too young to fight back, too helpless. The carriage screeched to a grinding halt, knocking Chaney loose. A moment of reprieve came, where the burning ebbed enough for my brain to work again. My breath wheezed as my fingers spasmed around the handle of the knife. The knife! I still held it. I wasn't a child. I wasn't helpless any longer. Move, Poppy! Move! Chaney latched onto my arm once more, and the pain was a hot coal against my skin, shoving me past the shock of pain before it could drag me under again. I swung the knife down, driving it into his back over and over until he finally felt it, finally reacted with a bellow of rage as he tore his mouth free. He lurched backward and to the side, reaching for the knife. Clutching his shoulder, I held on, jabbing the knife into the wound, into his chest, his face, anywhere I could reach. And he went wild as me. A new wave of pain exploded along my arm, my cheek, and bright, dazzling lights once more danced across my vision. I screamed as something seemed to rip open inside me. My senses stretched out, attaching to the ascended. Nothing, nothing, nothing but my pain, my rage. It pulsed and throbbed inside me, through me, down the cord, and through the entire carriage, becoming a tangible third entity as I sliced the knife through his cheek. Chaney jerked back, yelping. Blood sprayed and spurted, running from his eyes and ears. I didn't stop, not even when a crash sounded from the roof of the carriage, not even when I thought I heard shouting from outside. I stabbed as many holes into the Lord as I could, until he sprang so many leaks, my hands were slick with his blood, my blood, and I kept thrusting the knife into him over and over. The carriage door ripped open, torn from its hinges. Cold air rushed in with the night, and the night was enraged. It washed over me, its intensity so stunning it overwhelmed me, shutting down my senses. And then Chaney was gone, along with the crushing weight and the heavy, too sweet cologne. But I couldn't stop, blinded by rage, pain, and an old, all too familiar panic. I kept stabbing at the air, at the night, at the shape that filled the gaping doorway, and then at what appeared above me, until a hand caught my wrist. It's okay. Shh. It's okay, Poppy. Stop. Look at me, a voice demanded. Look at me, princess. Princess. The ascended wouldn't call me that. Breathing ragged, my wild gaze swiveled around the carriage, stopping when I found him. He hovered over me, cheeks spotted with blood. Hawk, I whispered.
Yeah, yes.
He sounded shredded and windblown.
It's me.
I didn't want to go with him, I told him, needing him to know that I understood, that I really saw the ascended for what they were, even before I woke up in the carriage. He had a boy, and I know. I found the woven dagger by the stables. I knew you wouldn't have left that behind if you had a choice. Gently, he pried the knife from my hand, placing it on the bench. The normally striking lines of his face seemed fuzzy.
And here I thought I would make this grand entrance, rescuing you. I'm not sure you needed rescuing.
I wasn't so sure about that. My rolling gaze landed on the bloodied knife. Even as dazed as I was, as much as my thoughts were muddied, I knew I wouldn't have killed Chaney. I wasn't even sure how badly I'd wounded him. He would have recovered quickly, and he would have bitten me again. He would have kept biting me, feeding off me, and... Hey, stay with me. Castile's soft voice intruded, ending the spiral of panic before I realized I was even falling down it. His fingers touched my chin, drawing my gaze from the knife. His eyes roamed over my face, lingering where my jaw throbbed viciously. And then his gaze dipped. Tension crept into his jaw.
He hurt you.
Lifting my head took more effort than I thought it would. It was strangely heavy as I looked down. The front of my tunic was ripped, streaked with red.
You're bleeding, he said.
His voice rough as he touched the skin below the corner of my lip. That too ached. But then his hands carefully peeled back the left sleeve of my tunic. He became as still as the statues inside Castle Tearman, as if he too were fashioned from the limestone they were made of. His eyes were like shards of brilliant amber.
Did he bite you anyplace else?
No, I swallowed dryly. the rigidness seeping out of my muscles. It hurt. It felt like a craven's bite. A tremor rocked me. It felt nothing like... His eyes met mine, and a long moment passed as he stared down at me like he cared, as if he would do anything to take back the pain I felt. He wanted it to hurt. Bastard, I whispered, letting my head fall back. Castile slipped his hand under my head before it could make contact with the hard floor. I wanted to tell him thank you, but my face hurt. My entire body ached, and my arm throbbed and throbbed. He could have killed you, he said, and for the first time since I'd met him, I thought he sounded weary. You're only half Atlantean. Something about that was important, something Chaney had said, but my thoughts were like scattered wisps of smoke. Bloodlust would have consumed him, and he wouldn't have stopped. There nearly always has to be another vampire with them to get them to stop, and sometimes that's not even enough. I didn't think... His exhale was frayed, tattered. I didn't think you'd be alive when I reached you. Yet again he sounded concerned, but that had to be the head injury I'd most definitely acquired. Or maybe it was the fading adrenaline, or perhaps the blood loss. Why? He asked. He had that boy. I had to do something. I forced my tongue to move. My eyelids were too heavy. Everything was too heavy, even as I felt Castile gather me into his arms, lifting me from the carriage floor. It was the only way he'd let the boy go. But he didn't, Castile said, as my eyes closed and I slipped into oblivion. He didn't let that boy go. The journey back to the keep was a tumble of hazy images, broken pieces of dreams, and pinwheeling stars. Castile's face was so close to mine that I'd thought he would kiss me, but it seemed like a strange time for that. There were sounds. Voices I recognized, ones tinged with concern. Then a strange taste against my tongue that reminded me of spice, citrus, snow, and Castile. Warmth like the summer sun invaded my veins, and when the heat started to seep into my muscles and spread across my skin, I thought I heard the trickle of water and smelled something sweet, like lilac. But Castile was a heavy whisper against my skin, and then there was nothing. When I opened my eyes again, confusion swept over me. I recognized the exposed rafters of the ceiling and the dark spice and pine scent that lingered on the blanket tucked around me. But I had no recollection of how I got back here. My gaze shifted to the gray light creeping through the small window. The last thing I remembered was Castile carrying me out of the carriage. There were disjointed images, things that didn't make sense no matter how hard I tried.
Poppy?
Heart kicking suddenly against my ribs, I turned my head toward the sound of his voice. Castile was near the fireplace, rising from a chair. He was dressed as he had been when I saw him last, all in black. Only the swords were missing. He prowled slowly toward the bed, his face clear of the spots of blood.
How are you feeling?
I had to tug down the cobwebs choking my thoughts to answer that question. I feel okay. And I did. I felt like I'd spent an entire night in restful sleep. He stopped by the edge of the bed, one eyebrow raised.
You don't sound like that's a good thing.
I don't understand. I should... My next breath caught in my throat as I pulled my arms out from under the blanket. The loose sleeves of the nightgown slipped down to reveal skin that was more reddish pink than normal in two spots. but not an angry shade, not torn. Slowly, I lifted my fingers to my mouth, and then to my jaw. The skin wasn't swollen there, either. There was only a faint ache when I swallowed. I lowered my hands to the soft blanket as the spiced citrus and snow taste blossomed in the back of my mouth. Poppy? I swallowed again. How did I get into this nightgown? There was a heartbeat of silence, and when I looked back at Castile, both of his brows were raised. He seemed utterly caught off guard. Did you do it? He blinked and then shook his head. No, Magda did. We thought you'd be far more comfortable. That meant Magda was alive.
Is that all you have to ask?
He asked. My gaze fell back to the faint puncture wounds on my arm. You gave me your blood.
I did.
Was I that badly injured?
You were bruised and bleeding, and that is bad enough,
he stated. And I looked to him once more.
There was also a worrisome lump on the back of your head. Kieran didn't believe it was all that serious, but I will not take any chances.
His jaw flexed, and we cannot risk lingering here to allow time for you to heal. Others will be coming for you. Others? They were following us, I said, clearing my throat. Lord Chaney told me that they'd discovered that...
I know, he said,
and a hint of a grin appeared.
I had a small conversation with the Vampiri, and I can be very persuasive when it comes to obtaining information.
Fragments of what Lord Chaney had said slowly pieced together. He saw the bite mark on my throat, and he knew that I'd learned the truth. My brows knitted. He said he couldn't understand how the Duke or Duchess had never fed from me, how they resisted, knowing what I was. He said my blood is potent. His jaw clenched.
To a Vampiri, Atlantean blood would taste like a fine wine. A full-blooded Atlantean would be like...
aged whiskey? He cracked a small grin.
Very aged and very smooth.
I shook my head. Well, I guess the Tiermans resisted because they knew the queen and king would be mad. Plus, it would expose the truth about them. I toyed with the edge of the blanket. Chaney was wounded.
Elijah got a good swipe in before the coward ran off.
I wished I'd seen that, but something else Chaney had said slowly fought its way to the surface. I told him that I knew why they needed me alive. He insinuated that I wasn't correct. Castile smirked.
Of course he would. I doubt the queen or king would want you to know the truth, or to believe it. They want you willing to not fight them, for them to be able to lie to you until they have you where they want. If he hadn't been wounded, he probably would have told you that everything was a lie. He would have worked to gain your trust.
But the lure of my blood was too much? Castile nodded. My stomach twisted with nausea. When I saw Lord Chaney, he always seemed kind, I said, and more mortal than the Duke or Mazin.
The Ascended are masters of hiding their true natures.
But so was Castile. My heart tripped over itself, still unable to think that all Ascended were like that. I thought of the Duchess, who'd told me not to waste one more moment thinking of Lord Mazin, when I questioned if I'd be punished or not. Maybe there was a reason I'd never seen her and the Duke touch one another. Just because she was a Vampiri, that didn't mean she was protected from his cruelty. And then I thought of Ian. In the silence and in my desperation not to think about my brother, I thought of the knight, Sir Terrelin. Inherently, I knew he was the one who'd spoken while in front of the keep, the one who had disemboweled the dissenter. Did you kill the knight?
I did what he'd done,
sliced him open and let him bleed. He was a vampire, but it was not without pain. Castile's eyes burned with golden fire. And then I killed him.
Good, I whispered. A measure of surprise flickered across his face.
There was very little dignity in his death.
That was true. But he's dead now, Castile nodded. At least it was a relatively quick death.
I didn't feel even remotely bad that the knight had suffered, and maybe I should be concerned about that. Probably I would be later. I took a deep breath.
How many were lost? How many names would be added to the walls?
4 were killed in addition to Mrs. Tulis, 6 seriously wounded, but they will survive.
My heart ached. What of the boy? He's okay, right? His gaze turned sheltered, and suddenly I remembered what Castile had said. He didn't let the boy go.
I rose onto my elbows.
The boy is okay, right? That's the only reason why I laid down my dagger. Chaney said he'd let the boy go.
He did what all Ascended do. He lied.
Tension bracketed his mouth as I jerked.
The only blessing was that it was a quick death. His neck was snapped. He wasn't fed upon.
For several moments, I couldn't think. I couldn't even speak as the image of the boy's wide, panic-stricken gaze filled my mind. Horror and grief seized me. Why? A knot clogged my throat. Why would he do that? Why kill him and not even feed upon him? What was the point?
You're asking for an answer to something that not even I can fully comprehend, he replied quietly. The vampire did it because he wanted to, and because he could.
Closing my eyes, I pressed my lips together as my heart squeezed and twisted. Tears burned the backs of my eyes, and I wanted to scream. I wanted to rage at the pointlessness of it all. I didn't know how long it took me to gain control, to not burst into tears or fall headfirst into the helplessness-induced rage. I'd done all that I could to save that boy, and it meant nothing. Nothing! He would still be just another name added to a long, endless list of them. And for what? And the Tulis's son? I knew in my heart of hearts that he too was dead. I exhaled raggedly as I lay back down, smoothing my hands over my face. My cheeks were damp. Castile remained quiet, silent and watchful. When I opened my eyes again, I asked, "What was his name?"
"Renfern Octis," he told me.
"And his parents?" I asked hoarsely.
"His parents died some time ago. His mother by a craven and his father to sickness. His uncle and aunt cared for him."
"Gods," I whispered, staring at the rafters. I saw the knight take him. I couldn't stand by and watch that happen."
"I'd hoped that you would, but I wouldn't have expected anything less from you."
My bleary gaze shifted to him. The words weren't spoken in annoyance. I thought I detected respect in them. "That's why you gave me my dagger." Castile said nothing. Do you have it?" He nodded. I started to ask for it back, but Castile said,
"No matter how much death I've seen, it never gets easier."
His lashes lowered, shielding his gaze.
"It's never less shocking. I'm glad for that, because I think if it ever does stop shocking me, I might stop valuing life. So I welcome that shock and the grief. If not, I would be no better than an ascended."
What I'd said to him the other day soured on my tongue. "I know you're not like them,
like the Ascended. I shouldn't have said that to you. Castile stared at me for so long I started to grow concerned, but then he said,
You're not going to ask if you'll turn into a craven now. You're not angry that I gave you my blood.
I know I'm not going to turn into a craven. I sat up easily and leaned against the headboard.
Did you use compulsion? Not to make you drink. You were surprisingly amicable to that, which caused me to worry all the more, he told me,
and I was suddenly grateful that I had no recollection of that.
Once you started to feel the effects of my blood, I did use compulsion to help you sleep. I assumed you would appreciate that.
Considering how I'd reacted the last time, I did appreciate that. I drew a leg up under the blanket. I'm not mad. I don't hurt. And I would have been in a lot of pain. I looked at my arm again, still shocked to see nothing more than faint marks. How often can you give me your blood? I mean, would something happen if you continued to do it?
I hope that I don't have to continue doing so, but nothing would happen if I did.
His lips pursed,
or at least, I don't think so.
What do you mean by at least you think that?
Atlanteans don't often share their blood with mortals, not even half Atlanteans.
He sat on the edge of the bed. In fact, it's forbidden. Is it because of your bloodline?
Our blood doesn't have much impact beyond its healing and aphrodisiac qualities to mortals. But you're not completely mortal. I imagine it may strengthen the part of you that is Atlantean, at least temporarily.
He faced me again. But there is a worry that sharing one's blood with those who have mortal blood could eventually lead to an ascension.
Oh, I could see why that would be a concern.
Would you get in trouble if it was discovered?
You don't need to worry about that.
But I do, I blurted out. An eyebrow raised.
Then you're worried about me, princess.
My skin flushed. If something happens to you, then that would jeopardize what I want. His head tilted as he studied me. A too long stretch of silence passed.
No one who saw how injured you were, either time, will ever share that I gave my blood to you.
That was good to know. But what would happen? He sighed.
Kieran was right. You do ask a lot of questions.
My eyes narrowed. Curiosity is a sign of intelligence. Castile smiled at that.
That is what I hear. The dimple disappeared.
The king and queen would be unhappy, but since I'm their son, they would probably yell at me, and that's about it. I wasn't sure if he was telling the truth or not.
I figured you'd be mad, he admitted.
How can I be mad when you made sure that I'm not in pain? I asked. And I truly wasn't. It didn't hurt me. It doesn't hurt you, right? I'm just glad I don't have a throbbing headache and... I looked at the faint marks. I won't have yet another scar. Two fingers pressed under my chin and lifted my gaze to his.
Your scars are beautiful, he said.
And there was a swift, swelling motion in my chest that couldn't be deflated no matter what my brain yelled at it. But I refuse to allow your body to be scarred again. My heart started thumping once more.
You say that like you mean it. Because I do.
I wanted that to be true, and that was enough of a warning. I leaned away from his grasp. When do we leave?
Nail is out scouting, making sure there is no unexpected traffic on the western roads. I can't leave until I'm sure that there are no immediate threats to the keep, he explained,
and that made sense.
I hope we will be able to leave by morning or the following day at the latest.
Nodding, I closed my eyes. When I started to see Lord Chaney's face, I shifted my thoughts beyond that
to what I'd learned before the Ascended arrived. I'd likely discovered what bloodline I descended from, a line of warriors. The need to get up, to move, to do something hit me again, but this time I had a purpose. Are the injured ones in pain? Castile's brows knitted. They've been given what we have on hand to ease their pain. Magda left to retrieve more. I can help them. I scooted to the other side of the bed and pushed the blanket off. He rose, Poppy. I can help, I repeated, coming to my feet. You know I can. Why shouldn't I? I raised my brows when he didn't answer. There's no good reason for why I shouldn't.
Other than that you were just injured?
He suggested. I'm fine, thanks to you. My hands opened and closed at my sides. You know I hated not being able to use my abilities before, being forced to do nothing when I can help people. Don't do that to me.
I'm not trying to do that to you.
Then what are you trying to do? I demanded. These are your people. I want to help them. Let me do that.
You don't understand.
He thrust a hand through his hair.
The people here don't know you. They don't
trust me, like me. I already know that, Castile. I don't need either of those things. That's not why I want to use my abilities. Castile fell quiet and stared at me for so long that I braced for an argument.
Then you should get changed,
he said, turning away.
I'll get jealous if anyone else sees how pretty your legs are.
Chapter 17. I found myself in borrowed clothing once more as Castile and I left the room. The heavy sweater was a deep forest green, warm and soft, but this time the pants were a size or two too big.